understand of the totality concept. It's simply that it was so vast that I ran out of time to explore and exploit before some fool started the new cost.
Look, I don't get it. When we first came across some indications of the Illuminated Ones, which isn't as good a name as the Illuminati, so I figure you screwed that one up, it was mixed up with what Mildred called the counterculture. The young people who figured that the ruling sect were screwing up and wanted to build some kind of alternative. I don't see them going for your shit.
That was my finest touch, I feel. I had to allow myself a little humor at what was, after all, a fairly humorless environment. It seemed a splendid jest to recruit so-called subversives and counter-revolutionaries into a movement that was allegedly opposed to the prevailing military culture, but was in fact using that very thing to manipulate it toward its own ends. Those who believed they were fighting for a freedom from such, as they saw it, oppression, were in fact upholding the very ideals and complexes that they opposed. It was merely that it carried another name. My foot soldiers were the very people who would gladly have spat on my grave. And it did, of course, also serve the excellent double purpose of keeping them off my tail.
That's pretty sick. But then again, what would I expect? Are you happy with what you've made?
Ah, no. Not me. You must remember that I did not begin the new cost. In point of fact, my reason for building this was in knowing that it was inevitable, and in waiting for what would happen afterward. And that's exactly how it happened. When the new cost came, and the long, hard nuclear winter began, I retreated to my redoubt and ordered my people to do the same. The cloning project was at such an advanced stage that I was assured of my own future. There was, over the ensuing decades, some diminution of my forces. Natural wastage and the necessarily limited gene pool have taken their toll, but there are still several bases left across the world, keeping in contact via Matrans and Comlinks. The tech is still there, and so are we.
How many bases are there?
Come now. You think I would really trust you with that knowledge? As with everything, only I know the true answer. Even the other redoubts are not fully aware. Now come to that, are they in full knowledge of their true numbers or purpose? I would not be that stupid. Knowledge is power, and I aim to retain that power. When they are required to act, they are told, but the basis is strictly need to know. Without me, they would be survivors of another age, isolated in this new world. With me, they are a force that will run this world. Even those who came here from the Radat you ruined, like the barbarians you are, have been dispersed among the other bases, awaiting their new orders when the time is right.
And just when will the time be right?
When the likes of you have fulfilled your little task and spread my disease across the land, making it clean of scum, and fit for the new order to come forth and achieve dominance.
Over an empty world ravaged by a disease that will chill everyone, including your descendants?
You surely do not think that I would leave my own people unprotected. Of course they are inoculated, so they can walk freely over the land above. Naturally, the shrinking gene pool and the encroachment of time will lead to their eventual demise, but I shall still be here, like Ubu Hua, a character in fiction I always admired, clone forever, and bestriding my domain like a colossus. I believe I may have mentioned that fact before. But now I have told you enough. I felt I would like to unburden to you, as you have been the worthiest opponents I have ever faced, and in a sense, you have become my recruits, albeit unwittingly, as I shall be using you to spread my little pox across the lands, sending you in batches to my redoubts, and letting you loose in your new locations to do my work on any you may care to meet. A plan stunning in its simplicity. You will, of course, be sent forth without weapons, as I will have to take precautions to ensure the safety of my Illuminated Ones, just as I have taken precautions on my own behalf by stripping you of weapons before admitting you into my presence.
You know something? You really have got too big a head, even bigger than that fat body of yours. You should get out more, you cold-hearted fat bastard.
Hard words, my one-eyed friend, but my men will cut you down before you get near me.
The SEC team concentrated on holding Ryan at bay, giving Jack time enough to strike.
The albino was too quick for the sect team to follow. Palming three of his leaf-bladed, razor-sharp throwing knives from their hiding places, he tossed two to Ryan and JB, hilt first so that the two men were able to catch them with ease. The flashing metal in the room's muted light confused the squad. But the third knife sped to its target, landing in the left eye of Emil Toshin. Toshin half fell, half staggered backward, rolling his vast bulk over the desk.
You can't do this! It's too soon! I'm not ready yet!
Yes, you are!
Jack vaulted the desk to get to the stumbling Toshin. The team yanked the knife out with a determined tug. Blood and fluid poured out of the wounded socket and down the fat man's cheek. Jack pulled the fat man's head back and finished the chilling with a swift slice across his throat. Blood flew across the room. The sex squad was simply stunned. Ryan and JB were able to overpower their chosen opponents with ease, disabling them with kicks and blows that doubled over the sect personnel, making them easy targets for the knives. The two other sect who hadn't been attacked had a few moments to galvanize themselves. The woman who'd beaten Mildred before once more picked her as a target. Doc unsheathed the Toledo steel blade within the cane and brought the finely tempered metal slicing through the air, chopping it down onto the sect woman's arms, cradling the laser blaster. The blade cut through her flesh, severing nerves, as well as causing her hands to become slippery with her own blood. The blaster dropped from nerveless fingers. Doc brought the blade back up so that he could thrust the fine tip at her exposed and uncovered heart. Three down, one left, and he was still armed. Christy and Dean intuitively separated so that the sec man couldn't fire on both without changing his stance. Unsure of whom to aim for, he vacillated and Dean kicked out. His boot caught the man on the side of the knee. The joint gave way, making him fall sideways. As he fell, Christy was on him. Her knee pinned the blaster to the ground, while her knuckles sought the soft area around his temple. She drew back her arm and smashed the vulnerable section of his skull with one blow. The companions were now alone in the room, surrounded by five corpses. With Toshin chilled, the illuminated ones were now just disparate groups of people waiting for orders that would never come. The important thing now was to find the cultures of disease and destroy them, synthesize the antidote, and mop up the remnants of the base. Arming themselves with the laser blasters from the chilled sect team, they headed for the door.
Let's get Gloria and the gate out of that chamber and get down to business.
Gathered by the door leading from Toshin's quarters, the companions readied themselves for the trip back to the Matrans hangar and the gate.
Everyone triple frosty. We follow the usual formation, but keep it tighter. We need to move quick and get through the redoubt without being spotted, or at least without raising an alarm. Anyone sees us, we chill them on the spot. First priority is to get the gate out of that chamber. Then we hit them hard and go for the med lab.
Why don't we free the gate from here, Dad? So they can get moving and we can devote ourselves to getting to the lab. It won't take me and Mildred more than a few seconds to crack the comp on the fat man's desk. Then they can start to wipe out the illuminated ones while we get to the lab.
Nice idea, son, but there are problems. We don't know if the gate have had their weapons taken away. And if the sec doors on the chamber start to move, the sec on guard will have the advantage.
And they'll come back and check here. The longer Fat Boy buying the farm is kept quiet, the better.
Yeah, I guess so.
The group now had four laser blasters. As Jack, JB, and Ryan all had blades, the other four had taken the blasters. They clustered in the doorway of the room, casting a glance back at the mayhem behind them.
Damn, all that conspicuous wealth.
Wealth? It doesn't mean anything now. It's got no value in the real world.
That's the problem, John. In his version of the real world, it still did. And it once had in the world I lived in. That was why people like him made shit like this happen.
It's over for the illuminated ones now, Mildred. Without that fat fuck, they're nothing more than a bunch of confused idiots spread across the land, waiting for a call that'll never come.
None of this will matter a jot unless we get the little matter of the nefarious disease resolved. So I suggest that we follow our leader and begin the counterattack.
They knew that the redoubt was sparsely populated. That gave them an advantage. It should have been easy to avoid the illuminated ones and get back to the Matrans hangar in order to free the gate. But it could take a little time, and the cron kept ticking. The auxiliary corridor in which they found themselves was quiet and deserted, leading onto a main corridor in which there was also very little sign of life. Although they kept close to the wall, alert for any activity, they were in a part of the redoubt where little activity took place, so they were able to make rapid progress down to the next level.